good morning.
My title for this morning's message is this: keeping a prayerful, positive outlook through a transition. Keeping a prayerful, positive outlook through a transition. Some of you who are new might be thinking, what's he talking about? What's this transition is talking about? As a church, we're going through a transition. And as you know, transitions are not easy. And I'm going to unpack that a little more. Are transitions necessary? Yes, they are. They are necessary for us. Why? Because they cause growth in our lives. They cause us to expand, and they cause us to experience new things when we transition. So they are important. They help us to get to our next journey in life. And the transition we are going through is enabling us to get to the next phase in the life of the church. And that's what is so exciting. You know, we all transition in life. Did you know that? You're no more in school, are you? You transition from school. You may have gone to university. That was a major transition. How many know that? I know when Sean and Shane went to university, they were so used to having the fridge full of food. And they go to university, to the halls, and they go to the fridge and open it. It's not full anymore. There's nothing in it. They open the cupboards. There's nothing in it. And that was a huge shift from being at home where everything is readily available, just as you open a cupboard or open a fridge, to, oh dear, I got to get my stuff now. That was a big transition. Then there's a transition from that life to your working life. And then there again, there's a big shock, isn't it? How many of you are in employment? How many of you work for companies? How many of you even have been self-employed? There is a big shock when you get into employment, haven't you? I did nursing for a while when I first came to this country. I was a nurse for 5 years. And, you know, I went to nursing school and training. And when I was put, I went through psychiatric and they don't call it mental handicap now. They have changed the names. But in that kind of nursing, you know, where, I've forgotten the term now. They have this politically correct learning disabilities, I think they call it, something like that. And you learn all the theory and, you know what to do. And then they put you on this ward. There were wards before. Now there are homes. But when I started, it was wards. And so they put me on this, the craziest one. Yeah, you know, the people there, the clients there were in your face. You know, they will just tell you off. They'll come this close and go, ah, in your face. And that was a shock to the system. Because we didn't experience it before. There was a big change. A big transition. Then you're given the drugs trolley. And you have all these amazing antipsychotic drugs, you know, and you think, whoa. There are 25 people here, and there are drugs for 25 people. All different stuff. And you can't get it wrong. You got to get it right. Huge transition. Before, you didn't do it. Somebody else did it. Now, you are doing it. Why? Because you are in charge of this. The first day, I was a nurse in charge. Can you imagine that? First day on the job, being the nurse in charge of the ward. That's shocking. Oh, man, I tell you. But we all, like it or not, believe it or not, we go through transitions, right? That's what I'm trying to get at. Yeah. Transition is when you are moving forward. When we are moving into something that is better, that broadens your horizons and expands your capacity. That's when a transition happens. You become somebody else. You become more able and more capacitated. Is there a word called capacitated? Or did I make up a word? We do make up words from time to time, you know. It happens. But if there's a word like that, I think it's a good word. But it makes you big. It enlarges you. I want you to look at the book of Isaiah. You know, when I was preparing for this, you know, whenever it comes to preaching, it comes to teaching. You know, you can get a load of sermons from the internet. How many know that? Yeah? There's plenty of stuff out there. But I say, Lord, what are you saying? What do you want me to say? You know, what, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to the church? I try and say, God, just give me something. And you know, the most amazing thing is that, you know, God just takes you. I never thought I would speak from Isaiah chapter 54. Never. But then, you know, just the Holy Spirit just said, you know, Isaiah 54, it just came, it just opened. I looked at it, I thought, wow, right, this is it. You know, you get a witness. I mean, I must clarify this. I don't hear the voice saying, oh, turn to Isaiah 54. It doesn't happen like that, right? You just get a witness in here. When you see a scripture, you may have seen it before, but this time, there's something different about this scripture. That's what happened to me. So don't look at me and think, this guy is holy. You know, you know, don't get goosebumps, okay? I'm just a normal guy. That's it. Isaiah 54 verses 2 and 3. Here it is. Make your tent bigger. Say bigger.
Bigger.
Make your what? Make your tent bigger. Open your doors wide. Say wide.
Wide.
Open your doors wide. Don't think small. I like that. Don't think small. Make your tent large. He comes again. God must be saying something, isn't it? Again, he says, make your tent large, and not only large, and strong. Because, verse 3, you will grow in all directions. I love that. Because you will grow in all directions. Your children, listen to this, will take over many nations. Hallelujah. You know, if at all we want a prayer that we want to pray over our children is, God, that they will be nation takers. They will take positions in nations and they will change nations. And the word says, your children will take over many nations and live in the cities that were destroyed. What an amazing word for us this morning. Here's my first point. Make your tent bigger. What does that actually mean? It means to be more inclusive. When you make your tent bigger, you become more inclusive. You can accommodate and invite more people to come into your space, correct? We all have a space that we are comfortable in, right? If somebody came here and spoke, I'd be very uncomfortable. If somebody stood 2 feet away and spoke to me, that would be a bit more comfortable, correct?
Yeah.
The Word of God is saying, make room. Be inclusive and invite others into your space. Expand your capacity to receive and to give. It's not just about receiving, it's about giving. Yeah, if we stop giving, the receiving will be in vain. The receiving will stink. The receiving won't go anywhere. At some point, we will just die because we are not giving out of what God is putting in. And in a transition, it is often easy to seclude ourselves, to be isolated, detach ourselves from one another and from the body of Jesus Christ, and generally from the church family. And you know, we have seen churches going through transitions where people just go. But we don't want that to happen in this house. And that's why we are very careful about how we do things and how we bring things into play. It is easy to shut down and stop giving and serving. And you know what? The devil wants us exactly that to happen. He wants us to stop serving. He wants us to stop giving. Why? Because he puts thoughts and ideas in our heads. Many churches have folded up. Why? Because they have shifted their eyes off God and His purposes and His kingdom, and they are focused on people. They're focused on themselves. What's in it for me? The world system says, what's in it for me? Jesus said, love your neighbor. What a contradiction. The word says love, you know. It's all about you. Jesus says, love your neighbor, love yourself as you love your neighbor. This is a trying time for the church. And unless we are careful and watchful, take those words in mind, careful and yet and watchful, the enemy will whisper all sorts of negative things about change and transitions, about positions. This is the time you and I, we have to guard our hearts. Proverbs 4:24 says this, above all else, guard your heart. Above all else. Why? Because everything you do flows from your heart. You can know what somebody is talking about. When somebody's talking about something, you know exactly what's in their heart. If somebody repeats something to you many years ago that is still affecting them, they may have gone through all the programs, etc., etc., but if they're still talking about it, and if it's affecting them, it's still a matter of the heart. It's like something has registered in there. And that's why the Bible says, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Be careful of what you think, because your thoughts control your life. We all think, don't we? I'm sure we do. But it's our thoughts control what we do. If they are negative thoughts, they will then express it ourselves in a negative way. If they are positive thoughts, they will express themselves in a positive way. These guys who do a lot of life coaching, and you pay loads of money to go to their sessions. What do? They actually enable you to visualize yourself as something else, as what you want to be, correct? That's what they do in a nutshell. They take you from this position of negative, you know, I'm useless, you know, I'm not good enough, kind of thing. Say, hey, look at yourself, because you got to picture yourself where you want to be. And that's what they do. And this is the time we got to guard our thoughts and take control of it. If not, they run riot in our minds. Not only should we make our tents bigger, the Bible says stronger. Stronger. You know, if you put up one of these flimsy-looking gazebos out, what happens when there's a big gush of wind? The whole thing just... But if you put a tent, you know, and you just nail it down properly, or what do you call it? Rope it down. What do you call them? Whatever. Stake it down, you know, and you put something that's robust and strong. Not this flimsy aluminium, but something of steel. What happens? When that wind blows against it, it'll still stand. Why? Because it's strong. It doesn't just look pretty, but it's strong. And the Bible says that we got to not only make our tent large, but at the same time, we got to be strong. Strong in what? Strong in our faith in Jesus. We need to know why we believe in Jesus. We need to be confident that it is His will that comes to pass. We need to be confident that Jesus is the foundation upon which we are building. See, Paul says, you know, I plant, Apollos waters, but God brings the increase. A few verses after that, he says, for the foundation is not anyone else but Jesus Christ. Why? Because he laid down his life for the church. If at all anyone should build on the foundation that has already been laid. And that's Jesus Christ. And we need to have a revelation that the head of the church is not me. It's Jesus Christ. I didn't die for the church. Jesus did. I can't take away sin. Jesus can. And so we need to get that into perspective and have a deep conviction in our spirit to say, Jesus, this is your house. And you know, when Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades will not prevail against it, you and I can know and have the assurance that God is well able to take care of his house. Hallelujah. See, sometimes as ministers, as pastors, we strive, we struggle, we think, this is mine, I need to look after this. No, you can't. You can be a steward of the house of God. You can never own it because it doesn't belong to you. And if you try it, you get burnt out because it's God's house. It's God's people, you and I, including myself. And God has a plan for every one of us. God is well able to look after his church. Now is the time to pray and to read the word and to surround ourselves with people who are going somewhere. People who can see what God is seeing. People who can see what God is building. Because the word says in Jude 1:20 that we have got to build ourselves in what? In your most holy faith. Build yourselves up. Jude 1:20 says, but you, dear friends, use your most holy faith to build yourselves up even stronger. So there doesn't come a saturation point where we say, oh, I'm strong now. I'm okay. It doesn't happen. Every day, we are growing stronger and stronger. But we got to make a choice of wanting to get stronger and stronger. If I want to lift up, 50 kilos weight, I can't do it now. I'll just go flump. What do I have to do? I got to make myself stronger. I got to put some muscle on my body in order for me to lift that 50 kilogram weight, correct? And in the same way, our spiritual man needs to be strong. When we are going through a transition time, it's even got to be stronger because your faith will be tested. Your attitudes will be tested. Everything you do will be tested by whom? Not by God. He doesn't tempt you. The enemy will tempt you with all sorts of things. And now is the time to take hold of God's word and say, I'm standing on the word of God. I'm standing on what God has promised. And I know what God has promised will come to pass. Because the Bible says his word will never fail. Heaven and earth will pass. His word will never pass away. That's how confident we can be in God. Here's the second one. The first one is what? Make your tent bigger and stronger. Second one. Open your doors wide. You know, when we were growing in Sri Lanka, we always, when you got up in the morning, the doors were open. That's it. The windows were open. You know, the house was just open. And when we came over here, the doors were closed. The windows were closed. It's such a change. It's such a difference. And so, in a sense, when you leave your door open, what you're saying is, hey, if you want to come in, you can come in, correct? Yeah. If your door is closed, you kind of hesitate, don't you? You don't want to walk in. If you see something open, you just bravely walk in because the door is open. The Bible tells us, open your doors wide. In other words, open your hearts wide. Be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Don't listen to the voice of the enemy. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. See, when the Holy Spirit speaks, he can speak in different ways. Yeah. But generally, it's quiet. It's, you know, it's not bells and whistles and, you know, smoke coming out. I love that. We were at conference last week, last few days. We had this amazing man of God, Dr. Sam Chand. Look him up. Fantastic speaker. Amazing man of God. You know, we normally have smoke machines, don't we? In places we have. We have one here, but we haven't used it here yet. So he said, now we have the Shekinah glory coming from the smoke machine because all the smoke comes. Started laughing. It was so funny. Oh. We got to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And often when he speaks, we don't see the smoke. He speaks in a still, small voice. He can speak through his word. He can speak to somebody else who is positive, who is going in the right direction. Don't listen to somebody who is not taking you to a better place. Because there are many who want to drag you down. Because they ain't going anywhere. So they don't want you to go anywhere. Have you had people like that? I've had people like that. They don't want to go. They don't want you to go. Don't listen to them. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Don't listen to man's wisdom. Rather hear what the Holy Spirit is saying at this time. Don't just listen to logic. Because how many of us know that God works in very different ways? If you think logically, we missed it. Because God goes beyond all of that. He says, my ways are not ways, not your ways, neither are my thoughts, your thoughts. Isaiah tells us that. And so we got to put logic out and think the way God thinks. Because when God calls, he anoints. God doesn't give you position, he gives you a call. And when he calls you, he then positions you. The position comes after the call. Oftentimes we go for position when God has not called you and you fail. You know, I couldn't have done this for 10 years if God didn't call me to do what he called me to do. If I came for position, I would have failed years ago. But when you come with the call of God, God then sustains you. He gives you the boldness. He gives you what it takes. Why? Because he called you. You didn't call yourself. Amen. God calls you. Then he anoints you. God can use anyone. None of us. I'm not indispensable. Not at all. God can use anyone. He used a donkey to talk. Imagine that. Imagine you taking, I don't know, we don't have donkeys, isn't it? Imagine taking your dog or something. You know, dogs are, man, you see dogs everywhere, don't you? And suddenly the dog talks to you. Go, what? Not just woof, but more than that. See, God can use anything. God will often turn our world upside down so that his kingdom can turn the right side up in us. God will, I'll say that again. I don't know how this came, but this comes. That's what the Holy Spirit does. God will often turn your world upside down so that his kingdom can turn the right side up, because it's about his kingdom, not my kingdom. It's about him. Here's the third one. I like this. Don't think small. Tell your neighbor. Just, you know, give them a little, Are you listening? Tell them, are you listening to this? Don't think small. If I thought small, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I would not be doing this. If I was small-minded, I would be holding on to this house for dear life. I would say, oh, this is mine. I don't want to let go. This is my thing. That's small-minded thinking. If I was small-minded, I wouldn't want to transition, because I'm not able to see the bigger picture. Because I'm thinking about myself. I'm trying to maintain it as much as I can. That's small-minded thinking. I'm trying to do it with my strength. That's small-minded thinking. I'm trying to do it all. That's small-minded thinking. You know, I've always pictured a church of many people from many nations. You know, we might be small, but we are pretty good. And we are people from many nations who come in here. And I've seen in my spirit, you know, we call it the spiritual eye. You know, sometimes you just can't physically explain it. People cannot sort of don't understand it, but you know, when you are serving in the house of God, when you are, you know, God's positioned you, and when God is speaking to you, you know, you kind of get this, you know, something in you that that just talks to that. You get this sense, and the sense I had was, I saw people queuing outside this very hall. I saw people queuing outside, and the queue was going up to the road. They were waiting to come in because this place was so full. The sole purpose of moving from a comfortable church at 27 Seaforth Avenue, it was comfortable, it was good. Everything was set up. You just walked in, you switched everything on, all the lights came on. You know, there were chairs already there. Everything was nice. I did that for 9 years, 8.5, 9 years. And then I thought, my vision was not small. It was big. I remember praying there with so many people. We had about 70 chairs, I think, that were out. But I said, God, I'm looking for 200. That hall could hold only about 80, 90 comfortably. And I remember going to every chair and say, God, I want every chair filled. Every chair filled. I also remember this. I haven't written this down, but it suddenly popped into my head. You know, I had this picture of a big building. Bob knows about it. I've shown this. I have it. It's on my iPad. I have the picture. For an amazing building. Huge building, seats 1,000. You didn't know about this, did you? It's coming. Some say you to dream big. That was big. That was just mega big. And I had in this plan, I had the auditorium. The auditorium would turn into a facility for the community. Basement was a fantastic studio that recorded our own sound, our own music and stuff like that. Just outside in the foyer was an amazing coffee shop where people came in all the time. It was packed with people. On the sides, we had all, you know, different rooms and activities happening. Can you picture that? You know, something big. I don't know why God put it there. But he did. What am I trying to say? Don't think small. And the reason that I'm able to let go and let God is because what God spoke to me when I was at the Momentum Conference. About catching the power of the wave. How many of you have seen waves? Big waves. There's enormous power, right? In a wave. You can't stand against a wave. It'll just take you out. God showed me that picture. He put me in that environment where that message spoke to me so strongly. And something witnessed in my spirit. That said, now is the time to transition. Now is the time to catch the power of that wave. Now is the time to see people being released. Now is the time to see people come into their destiny, into their fullness, into what God has for people. You see, small-minded people control everything. They don't want to let go. They don't want to release people. I want to release so that God can do what he has to do. Because God has an amazing plan for this house. I believe it with all my heart. That's the sole purpose why he brought me here. So now we have an amazing couple. They're sitting right here, Chris and Rachel Huckel. And you know what we want for them? We want them to fulfill their destiny in God. And for this season, for this time that God has sent them in, we want to see that fulfillment of God's promise, of God's hand on their lives coming to pass. And that's a journey that we are journeying through. That's what we are calling the transition, because it takes time. It takes time. It takes working together. We want to make room for them to enable God's purposes to come to pass, because in doing so, we all will be blessed. At this time, we are in a process where they watch. We got this from this conference. Amazing stuff. Where they watch what we do. This is a process. They watch whilst we are doing the job. Then we do it together, supporting one another. Then they start doing it, and we watch. And finally, they lead, and we follow. Can you see the process? How it unfolds beautifully. We want to ensure that this transition moves forward in a very healthy manner. That is our heart. Now, is it easy? Is it easy for us? Is it easy for Jenny, for myself, for our kids? You know? No. It's not easy. But they understand, because they can see how much better this will be. They can see it. They know it's going to get better. They can see God's perspective, not man's. So it's not easy yet when we switch from our looking at ourselves to see what God can do. It changes your thinking. It changes your perspective. It enables you to release rather than hold on. If I'm being very honest, are there feelings and emotions? Yes. If I say no, you say you're a liar. Why? Because we are human. You know? We are not gods or, you know, people without feelings and emotions. Yes, we do have feelings and emotions. Do I feel those emotions? Yes, I do. What are those emotions? Sometimes there's sadness. Sometimes there's a sense of loss. Sometimes, you know, my mind thinks, but my heart has to follow. How many know that? Your mind thinks, but your heart has to follow what your mind is thinking. Is it easy to let go in the natural? No. In the spiritual? Yes. How does it, what else does it entail? The whole process of transition, integrity. I know what we are doing is the right thing. It's the right thing for this house. It's the right thing for this church. Yes, it is the right thing. Will this take the church to the next wave of power? Yes. I believe that with all my heart. Would this enable and bring life to more people? Yes, it will. Why? Because a way will take you further. Will this expand and increase people's capacity and ability to function? Yes, it will. Would this make this church a part of something way bigger than what we are now? Yes, it will. And we'll be a family together with an amazing, you know, we were in this environment over the last 2 days. I tell you, the next time we'll be talking about this, I'm sure Chris and Rachel will be pushing this hard. The next time we have the Momentum Conference that comes up in Easter, I tell you, every one of you must be there. Because you need to see the power of the wave. You need to be in an environment that is so charged up with the presence of God that you don't think about yourself. You see the bigger picture. You see God move not only here, but in the nations across the world. This movement is not just touching small communities here and there, just, you know, minute places. No, it is going into communities and nations and countries where we've never been before, where God is doing an amazing work with people. And the whole thing about this ministry, it's empowering people. It's in bringing up emerging leaders. It's allowing people to come to the fullness in God. It's looking at young people and saying, I see the fullness of God in you. I see the call of God on your lives. And we are making space. We are making room for God to bring you into a place where you can demonstrate godly power. You can demonstrate kingdom power. That's what it's all about. It's lifting people up. It's raising people up into God, into where God wants them to be. That's the whole move that we are in. That's what we are plugging into. It's not some small thing here and there, some sprinkles, here and there. It's a whole move. It's a whole wave that is touching nations. I think we had over 15 nations at the conference over the last 2 days. 15 nations, all the way from New Zealand, people came. Can you imagine that? New Zealand, the Philippines. That's how far this wave is going. Can you see it? I want you to see it. I want you to see this ripple. I want to see the wave. I wish I had a big picture of a wave. Integrity. What's the next thing? Keeping your flesh under. Keeping your desires under. And one thing that came to me when I wrote this was the fruit of the Spirit. Self-control is one of the fruits, correct? Self-control. Control. Guard. Protect your thoughts, your heart. So this period that we are transitioning, in this time, let's choose. Here's a choice. You've got to make a choice, correct? We all choose. Good or bad, we still choose, correct? Then we have the consequences of our choices. Can be good, it can be bad, correct? We all choose. Let's choose. Let's make up our minds to choose to allow our tents to get larger. Be more accommodative, more inclusive. Let's be open to change. You know, we change. Yeah, I don't look the way I looked 30 years ago. I had much more hair. This head was full of hair. When Jenny saw me, I had nice hair actually. Went up like this. Yeah. Let's embrace changes. Let's make our tents large. Let's have hearts that are large for God. Because this is God's house. He will look after you. He will look after you because you are his child. This is God's house. We are God's people. Let's be excited for what God is going to do here in New Malden. You know, we have prayed over the last 9 years. We have made declarations. God remembers each one of those declarations. I remember sitting in the churches, as some of you may have been involved. We have had times of prayer. How many have been there? Where we have spoken, people have come and they've written on the board as to what the Holy Spirit has been saying. Correct? How many have been there in those sessions? If you've been in the church for a while. Let's not think small. Let's think big. Let's focus on God. Let's take the focus off ourselves. Let's take off that selfish attitude, that what's in it for me kind of attitude. Let's embrace a new culture. Let's embrace the people, the couple that God is sending to this house. Because in doing so, you and I are going to be blessed. You and I are going to be amazingly blessed when we extend that invitation and we welcome the couple that God have ordained and purposed for this season. There's a scripture that came to mind, and it's this. The scripture that says in Ephesians 3, verse 20 or 19 or 20, exceedingly, it says now, exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask, above all that we can think. That's what God can do. With God's power working in us, He can do much. He can do amazing things, much more than our minds can ever imagine. My joy would be to see this house filled with people lining out outside, two services, three services. Would you like to see that? I tell you, you got to have some faith there. You got to put something in there and saying, okay, you look around and think, oh, my, actually, you know, you're about, 35, something like that. Think, man, this guy's mad. But you know something? You got to visualize it. You got to see it. And the more that we as people of God can see that, then our world expands. We get more ideas. We think, wow, if 100 people walked in here, what do I need to do? What do I need to change? Correct? Yeah. Can I sit where I'm sitting? No, I might not be sitting. I might be standing because 100 new people will be in this house. Would I be able to come in at 11 o'clock and enjoy? I said, no, I had to come in at 8:30 because we've got to do more for 100 people who are in the house. Picture that. We have an exceedingly abundantly God. That's what we can look forward to. A more than enough God where the sky is the limit. You know, you can go on and on and on with God. There is no stopping with Him. You might ask, so what's the timing in all of this? I don't know. We're on a journey. September, October, November. What do we have to do in the meantime? Pray. Strong. Be strong in God, in the Word. There are crucial months for this transition. And my heart's desire that it'll be so smooth and it'll evolve so beautifully that we won't even feel it. It'll just be, wow, we've transitioned. Really? We have? Yeah. How amazing is that? That's my heart. And I believe that as we embrace Chris and Rachel and what they are carrying, and seek to bless them, to work with them, the more we will be blessed. We will be edified, and we will be strengthened. We are here to support 100%. We are here to encourage you through this season. We are here to be part of that amazing journey. I want you to join us on this amazing journey because it's taking us to an amazing place. Will there be conflicts? Yes. I love this from what I picked up from the conference. You know what? Dr. Sam Chan is good. You know that scripture where two or three are gathered together? Jesus said, in my name. And he said, we are two or three gathered together, there is conflict. He put it better than I can. Conflict is neither good nor bad. It is what it is. But we got to address any conflict. It's what happens between our expectations and the reality. So we got to deal with our expectations. Let's keep it real. Let's keep it honest. Let's choose our thoughts wisely. We all have choices. Let's make the right choices. Are you with me? Church, are you with me? Let's choose wisely. Let's make the right choices. Let's purge anything that is negative or anything that stinks. I took this phrase from him as well. Stinking thinking. That's what he called it. Stinking thinking. Purge it. Get rid of it. Guard your heart. Because out of it flows life, the issues of life. Offense will come. Why? The enemy is clever at doing that. But don't give in to the offense. Don't give in to the tactics of the enemy. Deal with it quickly. Forgive quickly. Move on quickly. Feel free to ask us any questions you might have. Get the clarification you need. Feel free to ask Rachel and Chris. Get that clarification. We may not have all the answers because we are not God. But we certainly can help. We can help to the point, the amount we know. I want to close with this scripture. Here's a good scripture to close on. And it's taken from the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. It says this: love each other in a way that makes you feel close, like brothers and sisters. Love each other. And give each other more honor. Say honor. Give each other more honor than you give yourself. I love that scripture. I tell you, if we practice that scripture, if we take that scripture to heart and we say, God, I'm going to love in a way that I love my brother and my sister. I'm going to honor my brother and sister more than myself. I tell you, this transition will be such a blessing. And that's what we seek to do. We want to honor whom God has sent into this house more than ourselves. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, this morning. And Lord, wherever we are in this road of transitioning, Lord, I know that some of us are way ahead, some of us are just starting, but some of us it could be brand new. But Lord, wherever we are on this journey, we know that you will take us through. There's nothing that happens without your knowing. Because you, God, are the one who orchestrates everything. Because this is your church, this is your house. And we submit to you. We give everything to you, God. You're the author and the one who completes us. Our faith starts with you. It completes in you. So God, we trust in you as we journey along this path. And we thank you that you are leading us. And help us, God, to have minds and hearts that are strong. God, help us to enlarge our territory. God, help us not to be small-minded, but to think of the wave that you're bringing and catch the wave that will take us to the shore. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Let's all stand and sing this together. Sing, there's a grace.
There's a grace when the heart is on the fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. When I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There was another in the fire standing next to me. There was another in the waters holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding of who been set free, there is a cross that bears the burden. Another died for me. There is another in the fire. So who my dead? All my dead left for dead beneath the waters. I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. Should I fall in the space between what remains of me and this reckoning? And the way I will bow to the things of this world. And I know I will never be alone. There was another reason.